The program we are about to present is a report on the gay liberation movement.
Betches Media presents.
Gay.
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 Gay and lesbian.
Homosexuals come together.
Twyla. Twyla. Twyla.
Everyone's gay.
Bless God and bless the gays.
Hi guys, this is Everyone's Gay. I'm Chris Burns.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
What's up, bitch?
Nothing. I'm just jealous of your iced coffee, even though it's so cold outside, but it's so hot in here. I have a hot coffee. I really wish I had a cold one.
You know, I didn't even bring this.
What? Someone got that, gave that to you?
Yeah.
Being nice, or they had a spare?
No. Friend of the pod, G, that works in the office said, Do you want a coffee? Here.
Well, that was nice of her.
I know.
I would never just get two coffees to give someone else. But I'm going to start doing that now because that's a really nice,
isn't it so nice?
Random gesture.
I've done that for people and it's so nice.
I go to Starbucks every day and I've never thought to get anyone else coffee but my own selfish self.
Well, I don't think a lot of people do that. Like,
no, I guess
I'm just
right.
going to get a random extra coffee to give away. This is an exciting episode.
Is it?
Yeah. Coming up, we have Jinx Monsoon.
Yeah.
And Ben de la Creme, bitch.
They're a fucking riot and a half. Holy shit.
Yeah.
No? Right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He said no. Yeah, I mean, the fact that they've both, one of them won Drag Race and the other would have if she didn't see herself out.
Yeah, so make sure you stick around for the interview. We also did a lot of fun social content with her. We shot a video that we haven't finished editing yet, but it is so funny and so good. I can't wait for it to be done.
Your friend is getting sued.
Ugh, I know. My best friend.
Your best friend.
Yeah, we FaceTime like 3 times a week. So a few episodes ago, I talked about how I went to the Madonna show at the BAM Theater. I went on opening night and she went on 2.5 hours late. I was furious. It was the first weekend I had my puppy. It was like the second day I had my puppy. And I had to leave her alone for like 8 hours. I felt awful. But, you know, it was all Madonna's fault. We left early. I missed like a prayer. Ugh. I was angry.
The best one.
So as it turns out, a lot of other people are angry because
she does it every night.
She does it every night.
On purpose.
She doesn't do it on purpose.
It seemed. Did you read the part when she said it?
She said, okay. So a fan is suing Madonna after the pop star, this is from BuzzFeed, BuzzFeed reporting this, because she changed her ticket people changed the start time of her show from 8:30 to 10:30 because she has been so late. And this person's like, I can't, it's a weekday. Or like, you know what I mean?
I love it that they're suing over this. And it's so petty and amazing.
Well, I should have gotten I feel like I should have gotten money back from the BAM Theater for my show, for that show. I'm sure if I complained, I probably could have gotten something in return. It is ridiculous.
They wouldn't even return his tickets.
They wouldn't return his tickets because they changed the time. And it's like a lot of people have children, jobs, like that they need to be home at a certain time for, you know what I mean? Like...
Wait, but it also said that she didn't apologize. She said a queen is never late.
No, yeah, she was on show. She was at a show in Las Vegas, and she said a queen is never late. Ironically, I think she did show up to that concert late. They even report that she was 2.5 hours.
She was 2 hours. She's saying like, I don't care that I'm late.
Basically, which is such a cunty thing.
Which is such a
bitchy thing to do.
She's like, you're all gonna sit here and wait, and they do.
And they do, but people get wasted. Because they're just sitting around drinking, waiting for Madonna to go on. It's like not safe, I think. Because I got smacked in the face by a drunk 45-year-old woman at my Madonna concert because she was just flailing about.
With no phones.
With no phones.
Lock up your phone.
What am I supposed to do? Listen to smooth jazz for 2 hours? No. Thank you very much. No, I do not want to do that. So I hope this person is able to get their money back. She just doesn't live on this planet.
No, she's also super fucking famous.
Yeah. So there's this new Dua Lipa single that I'm obsessed with, and it's produced by your boy.
I don't want to talk about him. He did back out of being sapiosexual.
Did you look into
yes.
it, Mark Ronson?
Yes. He also looks good. He posted a photo looking nice and toned.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he produced it. Let me double check and make sure I'm factually correct.
Usually if he produces it, it says by Mark Ronson.
Well, Mumps he like posted. Featuring. I saw him post. No, not always. He like he produced. I don't know, a bunch of shit. And doesn't do that.
It's like how Valerie is always listed as Valerie by Mark Ronson featuring Amy Winehouse.
But he also produced that whole record. Let's see. Oh, he did not produce it. I'm sorry, I was wrong. But I saw him repost it.
So you just brought him up to upset me, is what you're saying.
I saw him post about it. I was confused.
You thought it'd be a fun way to start the day, to rip Chris's heart out, throw it on the table.
Yeah. I guess maybe they're just friends. Maybe he just supports her.
Ugh, British.
But I love it. It's called Don't Start Now. That's my recommendation of the day.
Did you know that Dua Lipa and Adele and Amy Winehouse and Jessie J went to high school, the same high school?
Did Dua Lipa go to that school too?
Now that I'm saying it, I don't think it's true.
I don't think she did.
Yeah. No, she was like, you're right.
She was like a model before she became a singer or something.
She's so young. How has she already had two careers?
Because she's was like started modeling at like 16, but she was also singing at the same time, or 15, 15 and 16. I mean, she's like very tall and beautiful, so it's not really shocking.
Do you think my model days are behind me? I hope not.
I don't think so. I mean, Elon Musk's mom became a model in her 60s, 70s, whatever old she is.
I see plus size male models these days.
Do you?
For like big and tall stuff, but I'm just saying, it'd be nice.
It would be nice.
I also want to be in a Sia music video. I have a lot going on.
Oh my God, Shia LaBeouf is so hot these days.
I know. But also being in a Sia music video, I don't think is that far-fetched.
No.
For me.
Did you see that? You've seen the electric heart or whatever it is, elastic heart video with Shia LaBeouf and Maddie. Oh my God, amazing.
But remember when Kristen Wiig was like, when Sia performed at the Oscar or like the Grammys and then Kristen Wiig did.
Lena Dunham did it on like Ellen or some shit, or like Jimmy Fallon.
Like it's so weird and I want to do it.
I'm sure you could. You dream big.
Well, we'll see. Anybody that knows Sia, let her know.
Let her know Chris wants to dance for her.
Yes, please do.
Like Beyonce, dance for you. Making so many musical references today.
I know, look at us. Mm-hmm. Sharp.
Before we go to our interview with Jinx Monsoon and Ben de la Creme, let's do our listener question. Do you want to read it?
Oh, wow. This is long.
Paraphrase, if you can.
Hi, gay people. 10 out of 10 on the pod. Great stuff. This question might be a little large. Yes, bitch, it is. I recently got out of my first ever relationship, first guy I ever dated properly or called my boyfriend. And since the breakup, I've been going through a gay crisis. Backstory. I am 23, have been out for many years, and before the relationship, I was very comfortable with myself and my level of gayness. I always liked things that were more traditionally feminine, e.g. fashion, and people would usually figure out I was gay just by how I am without me having to tell them. However, I would always be proud when I would have to tell people because they wouldn't tell. Awful. Couldn't tell. Awful, I know. This never bothered me, and I never gave much thought to if I was masculine enough, although I don't think I ever was flaming. Sorry if that's offensive, just trying to explain. However, since being in the relationship, FYI, I was the bottom, he was the top, I have become obsessed with appearing masculine. I don't feel that my ex-boyfriend was aggressively masculine, straight acting, aka you would realize he was gay just by talking to him. But I keep fixating on the things that made him more masculine, like a top, how he dressed, what he liked, his straight guy bedroom.
Straight guy bedroom?
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's like dirty with jizz all over the sheets?
Which didn't have much thought put into it. But bizarre. What does your bedroom look like, girl?
I know, like posters of Bob Marley. I don't know. Does that mean straight?
And I can't stop trying to do similar things with the hope of appearing more mask. It makes me ashamed because I know I'm being very reductive by associating masculinity, femininity to gay sex roles, as well as saying he is more masculine because of how he presents himself. But this is a struggle I am having. I'm also ashamed that I'm trying to appear more masculine by seemingly appearing less gay because I fucking love being gay in gay culture. As I said, I have been out and proud for many years, so it's not like I am just getting used to being gay or anything. Basically, what I'm wondering is it normal for gay men to constantly be going through different phases of being comfortable with their outward expression of gayness as well as their masculinity? And I was also wondering if this was something you guys had dealt with and suggestions you would have XOXO.
My first advice would be, as someone, what, like a copy editor, this is pretty redundant.
No offense.
But, no offense. I mean, it's a good question, but it's, you know,
Yeah, I guess.
I would tighten that up a little bit. But anyways. Okay.
I go through phases, but not because I care what other people are thinking.
I think it's like you just don't care so much. And, you know.
Yeah. That's kind of the simple answer, but also.
I mean, it's obviously, it's just time. It's like no one's comfortable. I mean, no one's even comfortable with themselves to begin with. But then you throw in the whole gay thing, having to like come out and like.
Yeah.
Be like hiding and then not hiding. It's that takes more time. It's just, yeah,
it kind of sounds like you just love the element of surprise.
Also,
right?
Like being gay is like liking men, so like it makes sense to like masculine things because it would be you know what I mean? That's my whole argument. I'd be like, being gay is like the most masculine thing you could ever do because you're sucking, you have sex with men
because you're obsessed with them.
Because you're obsessed with men. It's like I feel like it's more feminine to be obsessed with women.
Yeah, take that to the court.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that everyone will agree with you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But I agree in that, like, if you're not concerned about being gay, then who cares? Just be whatever you want.
Exactly. No, and also, like, who cares? I mean, maybe that's just too simplified, but, I mean, who cares?
Yeah, I don't know how else to...
Also, like, don't worry about labeling yourself so much, because you labeled yourself a lot in that one.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you're young.
The
you'll
top,
grow
the bottom,
into it.
The masculine, the feminine... Liking things, not liking things.
You'll grow into being more comfortable.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Cool. As always, remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Leave us the best reviews. Only positive.
Only fucking positive.
Mm-hmm. Anyone negative ones, I'm over it.
Yeah. Do your best.
Someone came for me on Twitter recently, actually.
What did they say?
They said I said some crazy shit on the another podcast that was like... But then, I mean, I don't really want to get too into it because I don't want people to figure out what it was. But it was like saying that I was wrong about something and then I was kind of being offensive, but I wasn't. I know in my heart that I wasn't wrong.
Was it on the
site? Do I just block them? Yeah. Do I just block a person, whoever adds me, something negative?
Them.
Or just ignore it? Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I need to just start blocking people indiscriminately.
I just ignore because when you block them, they're like... You know, it's like,
yeah, but then they might feel like they're the asshole if they get blocked, or do they think that I'm the asshole?
I don't answer because then it's like I'm not even fucking looking.
That's true. That's a good one too.
I don't even think about you.
Clearly, I am thinking about it, but
yeah, I mean, of course. But if you pretend,
it's funny how like person gives me a great in-person compliment, and I'm like, oh my god, and then I forget about it 10 seconds later, and then like some asshole says one thing to me on the internet.
I know.
I'm like,
really? It's true.
Stewing
though.
For days.
No, I know. I get it for sure.
Okay. Enjoy your interview.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
All right, and we're back with Vendela Creme and Jinx Monsoon. Can you even believe it?
I can hardly believe it myself.
Thank you so much for being here.
She's Thank been you. Like this all day.
Thank you for having me.
We just shot such a fun video on YouTube. Everyone, make sure you check it out. It's on our Insta story. We'll swipe up to it. Check it out. It's fun.
I know. I was coming from the dentist. I thought I was going to beat you guys here. And then I saw the wigs as soon as the door opened. And I was like, I'm late. But.
And then you were like, who's that under them? And then you were disappointed. And
then, imagine if I was like, oh, these are. Okay. Cool. So you guys are promoting your new show.
We sure are.
All I Want for Christmas is attention.
Yes, we're very excited about this show because we had such a good year last year. Dayla has been criticizing me for my attempts at selling this show. Apparently, I come off as someone who
I can know already how tell that we're going down a better path.
Yeah, but now all I can think, I feel so.
Jinx was told not to say two words, and I can see those two words just running
through
her forehead.
No, I just feel
forehead.
So like. self-critical right now. She got in my head.
You're always self-critical.
She got in.
Listen, it's crowded in there. I'm just glad I was able to elbow my way in.
No, this is a dream come true, touring the world with my favorite drag sister. And we've known each other long before either of us were on Drag Race. So when we decided to create a show together, we just knew, like, it was magic in the making. And I'm so glad neither of us... take it away.
What, your microphone? I would love to. Yeah, no, it's really, it's super exciting to get to do this because it's something we've kind of been talking about some version of for a very long time. And last year was the first Christmas tour that we did together.
Jesus, thanks for everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is the first one that... And so I produced that show, which was, there was nobody that I would rather take on that first sort of touring project with. And then this one is our first international tour.
Wow.
Which is exciting to have drag queens self-producing that kind of stuff.
Where are you going overseas?
We're going to be doing just 3 cities in the UK to start.
So exciting.
Next year, the world. But we're doing London, Manchester, and...
Glasgow.
Oh, I've recently been.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I really liked it. My best friend moved there, got married, and abandoned me and moved there. So I went to be in her wedding.
You went looking for her.
So I went to rob her of any happiness that she had found.
Did you have to wear a kilt for the
wedding?
I did. You did? Did you wear it traditionally?
I did. No, because this is the thing. If it's a rental, they tell you you can't.
That makes sense. Yeah. But I mean, wouldn't even want to if someone else had worn it before you. But I guess we're also talking about penises as if they like are sneezing goo all the time.
That's Sometimes they do.
I feel like it would have added a layer of excitement if I had worn it traditionally. But there's also so many pieces. It took me like 45 minutes to put it on.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to respond to anything for a while after hearing the phrase sneezing goo. So
from a penis.
You all just carry the conversation till I recover.
How did you pick this name? How did you come up with this name?
It just comes from a place of truth, as all good art does.
Well, it's a bit we do in the show, but we literally sat, the first thing we did to prepare for last year's tour was come up with a title for the show, and it was 3 hours of us just sitting there saying anything that came to mind that could possibly be funny.
Mm-hmm. What was the worst one?
Ooh, girl, you got tree mail.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. That's next year.
But my favorite one, personally, was another drag queen. Wait, what was it? Another drag queen touring show, now with content.
I can see the poster already. It's in Times New Roman.
Another good one was Jesus Done Already Done Had His.
Oh, you have show names for years.
We do. Yeah. It's true. We developed them all ahead of time.
And then, of course, when we had used every good title idea, it just ended up being things like Snow Job. And
that was Jinx's.
Well, you landed on a good one. So how did you meet? I remember watching Drag Race. There was a specific part I was looking for because I remembered you saying, Dayla is my Seattle sister wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find the episode because I wanted to date it correctly.
Oh, I don't know, because they generally, couldn't have been on my season. Maybe
no. I think it was your season, and you were there for something,
like reviewing the season or something.
Yeah, they've or it was like they were. Times. It was like a challenge, and you were there to instill fear.
You just made that up.
Yeah, because I didn't. I didn't do that until season.
That was a
11
night terror.
It might have been All Stars, maybe.
Nope,
wasn't involved in that either.
I swear.
Maybe you just saw some web content and then wove it into your experience of the show.
To say these days, because, honestly.
Yeah, but we have known each other for about a decade now, and we were pretty much enamored with one another the moment we met each other. But
a lot of deep tongue kissing.
Oh, you know what? I just remembered what it is. I think you were talking about Robbie Turner. Does that make sense?
What, do we all look the same to you? Seattleites?
All Seattleites look the same to you.
I can't tell
the
difference.
You do look like a lot like Kelsey Grammer.
like Roz. Like Camille.
I don't know. I feel like that reference was a little esoteric.
Everybody
that's one of the band words.
Let's see if I can work in the next word.
I'm sure you can.
What are close relationships between drag queens common, or do you feel like there's more rivalries? I'm curious about the rivalries.
I hate them all.
I think rivalries are the ones that are more like played up for television drama. Okay. I don't think, in my experience, they are not the norm. I think most drag queens are pretty bonded because we're a unique breed of animal that, you know, I don't know. They're like, the world is a bizarre place for a drag queen, and so we've got to kind of find sistership.
Yeah, I mean, I've felt so close to all the queens that I've like done a show with, you know, like an ongoing show. Before Drag Race, I've been working in drag since I was like 15, so I had done multiple different shows with casts of girls. And it's funny because it's like sometimes these drag sisters of yours are not people you would hang out with in any other context, but you do drag together and you do the show together and they become family unconditionally. And then the Drag Race sisterhood is also a very strong bond because... this is probably problematic, but I always call it our nom. Like, no one in the world will ever know what that experience was like except for those who went through it. Mm-hmm. And on our side of the camera. So, you know, I might not be the hugest fan of every Drag Race girl, but I absolutely get along with all of them and work well with them. And I feel like we could pretty much reach out to anyone and say, hey, I need help with this, or I'm having trouble with this, and we'd all help each other.
That's so nice.
It is nice, isn't it?
It is.
So what can people expect from the show? What are we getting?
look at her. Oh, she's just
fighting it. I really love doing this show. I really love working with Dayla.
Just say the word you want to say.
Say it.
Well... Here's the thing is...
No, and just say the word. Don't even give it context. Just say it. Just get it out.
Masturbatory.
Okay. So we're done with that. We can move words. On.
The thing is, I'm very satirical in my writing and in my performance style. So when I call our show an esoteric masturbatory political rant, that I'm describing it poorly as a joke because that's how I do.
I'm here for it.
Puppets. I think that actually, so I don't think Jinx is wrong, but I do think that there's, you know, so in terms of what just people are going to see when they walk in the door, there's, you know, it's all live singing, comedy, dance, I put dance in quotes around us, and tons
and burlesque.
Of just...
And Dayla will take her clothes off at some point.
Yes, I will. Oh. Jinx will if she smokes enough pot. And I... but then, you know, I think the other side of it then is that we really do try to do something that is about the fact that the holidays are difficult, especially for queer people, you know? Like, we're inundated with messages about family and going home, and that's not something that resonates for everybody. So it's both just, like, fun and laughter and camp and a few dirty jokes, but also, you know, like, celebrating and creating a space that we as queer people can have a great time. And, you know, people who are not queer, but also just are looking for something different, something that makes them as outsiders feel great, or just a fun theater experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I think when you take our two performance styles and our two writing styles, what you get is something a little anachronistic.
She's just leaping through her dictionary right now. You can't see this at home.
Someone has like the toilet paper with the vocab word of the day on it.
She's got a thesaurus. And
well, it's, you know, what I like about our performance styles together is we are like vaudeville. You know, we've got very clear personas. We've got very clear conceits. It's all set up right in the beginning of the show. You know, Dayla loves Christmas. Jinx hates Christmas. Hilarity ensues. But beyond that, we share so many political views. We share a mission statement as artists. We have similar goals with what we do with our platform, with our advocacy work, and the kind of queer role models we want to see in the world. So you're going to go see a show that's really hilarious and has a lot of entertaining bits and a lot of dick jokes and stuff like that. And then when you're least suspecting it, a life lesson, you know, a little poignant look at the state of the world today.
She's pausing between words because she's just a leafing through that.
You don't normally, it's difficult to do all your interviews with your producer. Normally I'd have this buffer time between the interview and the producer calling me angrily, like, but not with Dayla. But that's one of the best things about our tour is
micromanagement.
It's for us, by us, you know, and
it's actually only for us.
Some would call that masturbatory. But Dayla as a producer, it's there's no other way to explain it other than like drag queen should be producing drag work. You know, I always try to explain that if you are not a drag queen, and I don't mean you've done drag a couple times, but if you have not made your living at some point in your life as a drag queen and crawled through the mud on your hands and knees and done that whole slog, you don't know the special challenges that we face as performers. I can't tell you how many times I get into a venue and they're like, okay, well, you're right on time. The show will be starting in an hour and a half. You think you can be ready in 40 minutes? I'm like, are you insane? Do you know what goes into this? This is a head-to-toe transformation, yeah. You know? So it was, you know, just the most perfectly managed tour last year. I mean, we still had to be up at 6 every other day for flights and stuff, but not a moment of it felt like a chore.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's true. It's, you know, once we actually hit the road last year, it was, I assumed traveling just with Jinx was going to be really difficult, but it really was truly just one of the most like easy breezy and enjoyable tour experiences that I've had. So
how excited. When does the tour start?
We open Black Friday, November 29th in DC. Then we go to the UK for 3 dates. Then we're back to the US and touring across the country through December 29th when we close in LA. So all those dates are at jinxanddayla.com along with ticket links.
Amazing. I read an interview where you talked about the holidays as young children and teens, and I thought it was very interesting. So if you told a very funny story. Well, you both did. I just think, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I'm ranting. I'm just ranting.
Listen, right? You're next to the queen of ranting. You're doing great. I think we're talking about the discovery of Jinx realizing that there was no Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
Hit it.
It's a very uplifting story.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I was raised by a single mother. And I remember this night, Christmas Eve, I woke up in the middle of the night to hear my mom sobbing. And I thought, what's she doing? She's going to scare away Santa Claus. So I go out there to confront her. And basically, within a moment, she's like, I need your help. Santa Claus isn't real and I need you to help me. Put your brother's bike together, as tears are running down her face and falling into her big gulp full of vodka and Diet Dr. Pepper. And so I had to help her build my brother's bike moments after finding out that Santa Claus wasn't real. So my brother had a great Christmas that year. And that was actually a bit in our show last year, and I had to perform that monologue in front of my mother.
Oh my God.
And it was a very interesting experience to be on stage with my chosen family, ranting about my blood family while my blood family's in the audience watching it. And at the end of it, I was like, and that's the year I found out Santa Claus wasn't real because my mother ruined Christmas for me. And she's right over there! It was a culmination of a lot of things for me.
Cathartic, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
When did the ultimate therapy session?
Cathartic, somewhat esoteric. Ultimately very masturbatory.
When did you find out that Santa wasn't real?
Oh, I don't think my Santa not being real story was this was. I mean, it certainly can't compare to that.
Just disappointing holidays in general.
No, I mean, it just falls into the blur of childhood trauma.
Been there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that my, you know, I mean, we talk a lot too about the way that like queer kids, what their unique Christmas experiences are, specifically the idea of sort of gender policing through gift giving, which was a big part of both of our childhoods. One of my earliest Christmas memories is holding a He-Man villain action figure in my hands and just sobbing inconsolably while my mother tried to calm me down because I was so traumatized by this hyper masculine. It was like, it felt like a declaration of war from my family against my gender.
That gendered gifts are a difficult thing. I was given a lot of gender neutral gifts because they knew I didn't want boy toys, but no one could bring themselves to buy me like the girl oriented toys I actually wanted. So I got things like a star named after me and like a tree planted in my name and nothing you could play
like
with.
Things your boss would give you.
And it wasn't until I, you know, started playing video games and then finally there was something, because you know, they could get me a video game that was intended for little boys, but they don't know that I play as a woman in The Sims.
I was always Peach during Mario Kart.
Excuse me. Absolutely. Peach.
We were just talking about how we would get the Power Rangers because then it would come with the pink and the yellow one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tricked my mom for a long time into thinking that the Yellow Ranger was a boy. And then one day she saw an episode and she literally said, "You tricked me."
See, I have two brothers, so they would take the other Power Rangers and then I'd be like, "Oh, I got stuck with the pink and the yellow one again. I'm just going to take these quietly up to the attic by myself." And you describe the show as mostly scripted. What does that mean?
That means that we're
for
both
for you
like,
guys, what does that mean?
That means we're pretty meticulous writers and we do like we sort of do this process kind of squirreling ourselves away, artist retreat style, or it's a little bit like me imprisoning Jinx and making her work. But we just like
there
really
is a castle on a cloud.
But yeah, it's just kind of through this dialogue process that we wind up writing most of the script. But you know, once you get in front of an audience, it's never quite the same from night to night because
I might be a little bit of a loose cannon sometimes.
No.
Like one of those people where if you tell them there's two words specifically not to say in an interview, that they'll bring it up literally every time they have a chance to speak. But that's also, it's kind of like, I think that's what's so fun about our relationship is that we trust each other enough to break the rules with each other. And I just never feel like there's any situation we could get into on stage that we couldn't get out of together. Mm. And there's very few people I've worked with in my career that I feel that strongly about, you know. There were times in the tour last year, you know, you get your rowdy drunk audience members. I would call it the suburban housewives having their once a year day. And we'd get like these people hollering at us, and sometimes I would engage a little too fervently, and I could just feel Dayla like being ready for the moment I was like needed a lifesaver thrown to me, you know, a life preserver. She was right there to get me back on the script after I have been like having a full volume conversation with an audience member. Yeah.
Essentially, Jinx's nonverbal way of shouting line in the middle.
You should start shouting line in the show. I think that's funny.
Hey, there's a bit right there.
Honestly, I would watch it.
Mm-hmm. Should we want to play? Yeah. So we have this game that we play. We call it cock it or block it, which means cock it, you like it, block it, you don't. And so this can be anything. So we're going to do three. Okay.
Ready.
Ready. So the first one, cock it or block it, mustaches on men.
Cock it.
cock it. I feel lots of different ways. It's very situational and circumstantial.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It depends on
John
the person.
Bolton's no.
Like, I have my best friend and comedy partner, Nick Sahoya, is a terribly attractive person. And for some reason, he grew a mustache, and I will to this day never understand why.
Well, my partner, who's right outside and has been helping us on this entire press tour, has a mustache, so I'm pretty
But see, Gus looks good in that mustache.
He does look very
Nick
good in his mustache.
Nick looked like, what are you trying to pull here, mister?
Yeah, it's all about the person. I agree. Like, I couldn't pull off a mustache.
Me neither.
It just doesn't. Like, I'm just going to leave the part that doesn't thin out my face. I don't think so. You know?
Well,
it's,
you know,
my,
like,
natural contour.
Vertical stripes, super, you know, mm-hmm. if you just did one of those little dark mustaches right above your
middle.
Upper. Yeah. It just, like, connects your nose to your upper lip. That would be very slimming.
I don't know. It might come with its own bag of problems.
So esoteric doesn't sell tickets, but Hitler references. That's how
I was talking about Chaplin. How dare you?
All right, Thanksgiving.
Oh, block it.
Cock it. I love cooking.
Genocide.
I guess I could cook turkey on any other day, too, yeah. But I really love cooking turkeys. Mm.
It's the cheapest meat on the market.
Is that true?
It's true.
Except for this time of year, right?
I suppose that's true.
I suppose because my mother would buy, like, multiple turkeys and keep them in a freezer.
Oh, really?
For years.
For years.
I was about to say, that's smart. And then I sort of rethought it.
She'd, like, buy them in January.
I always forget to prepare for cooking a turkey until the last minute. So every time I've cooked a turkey, I've had to get it the night before and do a bathtub thawing where you fill the bathtub with tepid water and just leave a turkey there overnight.
This is in a hotel while she's on tour.
That I cook it with my hair dryer. It takes 30 hours.
You just shove the hair dryer into the turkey. Like,
we're
stuffing.
We're flying on Thanksgiving. We start tour on Black Friday, so we're actually going to be on an airplane for Thanksgiving this
year. I hope they feed us something good.
I bet they will have a Thanksgiving dinner that will be just delicious.
It'll blow our minds.
I can't even imagine what an airline Thanksgiving dinner would entail.
Can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. The dinner on the plane.
We'll do a live feed.
You must.
Live post it.
Get it? Because feed.
So many references today. Last but not least, Drag Race UK. Are you watching?
I am.
I haven't seen it yet.
Dayla hasn't seen anything past when she eliminated herself.
That's true. Did Shangela win?
That's my favorite joke she always does. People go, what did you think of the ending of All Stars 3? And she goes, haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it for me. It works on so many levels.
It is a great bit. Don't, no spoilers.
I like Drag Race UK a lot.
I also like it a lot. At first, I
was
didn't
that a cock
it
or block it question?
Yeah, that was a cock it or block it.
Cock it.
Yeah. I cock it as well. Especially the most recent few episodes are, like, very, very good.
I don't block it. I just haven't cocked it yet.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of catching up to do.
How many episodes are there?
No, I mean, if you're only at All Stars.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to get through
breath.
Some other. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Wow. What a note to go out on.
Yeah. It is. Well,
we can tell we've exhausted you. So.
No. I'm just waking up. I feel alive.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
You were at the dentist.
I was at
this.
The dentist.
I don't mean to spill your tea. But
yeah. Oh,
how does
no,
your face
please.
Feel?
It feel. I went in because I had a tooth that broke. Yeah, you can feel it. I can't feel it. So I had a tooth that broke at a dinner. I, like, felt a crush and then spit out half of my tooth.
Oh.
Which, you know, your teeth are healthy when a tiny bone in the rice makes your tooth snap in half.
That must have been so terrifying for you.
It wasn't.
Jinx just did a great bit for radio.
Hey, everyone here loved it.
Honestly, it was worth it. I almost just said reel the tape, but apparently we're not filming. So anyway, my teeth are fine. They're still there for now, except for the one that's being pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
Which tooth was it? Was it one of your favorites?
But no, it's over here. I hate them all at this point. No favorites because I despise every one of them. Okay, so we can get tickets at jinxanddela.com.
That's JINKXANDDELA. I feel it's important sometimes to spell it out.
Look who's coherent. Mm-hmm.
We'll do a swipe up. We'll put it in the bio or the link in the bio.
And where can our listeners find each of you on social?
I am at Bendel Cram across boards.
Yeah, I'm at Jinx Monsoon on everything except for Instagram. I'm the Jinx.
Because somebody took Jinx Monsoon before she could get it.
Yeah, some fan.
Oh, you can buy that back. How many followers does it have? That's what kind of a fan does that?
Have you reached out?
No, because...
Don't give them the satisfaction.
I mean, because I can't change mine now, right? I'm not going to start over. I just hit a million.
Oh my God, congratulations.
The Jinx is also the title of that documentary.
I know. But I had the Instagram handle first before I killed all those people.
And that's what's important. All right. Thank you both for being here so much.
You.
We'll have to see you at the holidays.
Yes. Thank you.
Betches.